You're listening to Alan Hahn's Knicks Fix Podcast, exclusively on the ESPN New York app.
Hello, welcome to the Knicks Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Hahn.
How do you feel about the Knicks losing game one the way they lost? Julius Randle didn't play.
Right.
Are you like, oh no, they're in trouble or what?
I don't think they're in trouble. It's just the minor adjustments. They have to figure out this pick and roll. This pick and roll was really killing them. And then what happens is it makes the defense scramble. And, you know, I looked up, and Miami at one point was 40% from three. And that was the difference in the game. It was the free throws.
Yep.
It was the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like the little leak outs. The Miami Dolphins found ways to sneak out and get easy scores. And the Knicks had to work for everything.
Right.
They had to work for everything in the half court, and everything was 2 points. Right? They would have 60 points in the paint. Right? So you talk about
40 in the first half.
Right. And then you look up and you're like, they only up five. You're
right.
Like, why are they only up five? I'm sure it's a stat out there. I know it's out there.
I got a million.
How many field goals? I bet you the Knicks scored more field goals than the Miami team, because they hit almost, you know, double threes, 40% from three. That's what kept them in the game.
Knicks hit 41 field goals overall in the game, shot 48% from the field, which is very good.
Yep.
The Heat only made 36 field goals, shot 42% from the field. The difference? The Knicks were 7 for 34 from three.
And the charity strike.
A god-awful 20.6%. And the
charity strike.
The Heat were 13 to 39, which is a 33%, which isn't great, but 13 to 7,
those,
as RJ Barrett said, that's too
points.
Big a gap. The free throws. You know what's funny? No one talked about this part after the game. And I'm not going to make a big deal of it, but it's interesting that Tom Thibodeau did. And that is what you just said. So I was wondering how the officiating would go in this series.
Yeah.
The Knicks
let him play. It was physical.
No, it was. But the Knicks were called for 21 fouls.
Yeah.
And remember, they weren't fouling on purpose late in the game. Like,
yeah,
you know, you could say, well, they got a bunch late. 21 fouls. You know how many fouls the Heat were called for?
13.
14.
Ah.
14 fouls in a 48-minute physical game. And that's why Jalen Brunson got a tech, which he doesn't do. R.J. Barrett was furious.
Yeah. He got hit clipped a couple times going to the basket.
Yeah.
But see, but that's the difference.
And Tom Thibodeau said there was a lot of contact we didn't get.
What about the air ball, Kyle Lowry, I looked like I touched you, but I didn't touch him at all, on a replay foul?
Thank Kyle Lowry, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Little Nicki Minaj came in and did his thing.
You got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, the timely shots. And that was the three-pointers, right?
He played
great.
It's
the thing. When you look at the Knicks, all their shots were contested, going to the basket, in traffic. They missed at least 13 floaters.
Can I give you a stat that will make you throw up in your mouth? Every Knicks fan will hear this stat, and you will throw up in your mouth.
Yes, please give it to me, because I'm trying to lose weight.
All right. Now, I told you the Knicks were 7 for 34 from downtown, which is awful. And they're in one now in the playoffs. Six games now in the playoffs. They're shooting 26% from three?
Yeah.
Awful. Like, really bad three-point shooting. And they survived it in the Cavs series. But game one yesterday was all about wide-open threes that they missed.
Yeah.
They were 5 for 23.
I was counting them.
From three.
Thank God for Obi.
When they were wide open. Like, open threes means there's not a defender within 4 feet.
Yeah.
Or more. And they missed, think about it, they were 5 for 23. They only made 7.
Yeah.
So five of the seven they made were wide open.
And Obi made 4.
And Obi actually went 4 for 11, which is a lot of threes for him to take, but still. But if I tell you that, 5 for 23 open threes, wouldn't you say to yourself, okay, the Heat are going to give you these? You were getting open shots. You just weren't making them. So there's two ways to look at it.
Brunson and Barrett were the ones taking.
Well, there was three of them. They were 1 for 16.
That's why I missed Grimes.
Brunson was 0 for 7. I'll give you another. I have a million of them. This is also going to make you throw up. Brunson's 0 for 7 from 3, which he called this game horrific. He was 0 for 7. It was, in Knicks history, the second most threes attempted without a make.
Ooh,
in
John
Knicks
Starks.
Playoff history, yes. Our good friend John Starks, who was in the building.
That big game that when he just kept shooting them?
You mean the game 7 in the NBA Finals?
They can't
that
all
big game?
Out. Let it rain!
He was 0 for 11. He was 0 for 11 in that game, man.
I can't believe he
that
had
one
the kahunas.
Hurt so much.
I still can't believe he had the kahunas to keep shooting them.
I give him credit. I mean, I do give him credit. Where did Let It Rain go,
by
the way?
Oh, man. It's like
Where did Let It Rain go?
It's like
usually right. There it is.
It's like Harlem Nights. Don't shoot that little stuff. Don't shoot that little stuff.
But think about it.
That's the difference of
the
game.
That's how historic the 0 for 7. This is a Brunson who shoots 40% from 3.
Yeah.
0 for 7, and so, it's the second worst, you know, that Knicks have ever had, and John Starks was 0 for 11.
But at least he had a good game in the paint. Like, he made a lot of tough floaters, getting to the basket.
He had 25 points and 7 assists, but he had a good game.
If he would have hit three of those, if he would have just shot 40%, that would have been the difference in the game.
So that's the question I have. Do you look at the 5 for 23 on open threes and say – they can't be that bad forever. If the Heat are giving them those shots, they're going to make them, and they're the Knicks shot 20% from three. If they shot 25% from three, they probably win the game. If they shoot 30% from three, they definitely win the game.
How about they hit their free throws?
Yeah, 12 for 20 is bad. 8 misses. That's not good.
I mean, you even if you just hit 6 of those, it's the, you know how in the any given Sunday, we fight for that inch?
Oh, yeah.
The difference between winning and losing. Right? It's the inches.
But I'm telling you, the missed threes only magnify everything else. And it makes you go, where was Quickly? It makes you go, what happened here? It makes you ask questions, but we also forget Julius Randle did not play.
And I think that's where you felt his absence. You felt his absence because, you know, when you think about creating, Hart is spending a lot of energy trying to.
And he did a great job on Butler.
I feel like you got to find times to give him a spell. Because then he doesn't have his legs underneath him for those open shots. And if Julius Randle's there, then these are open shots for him because he's not in the paint. He's not bringing the ball up. So his legs are stronger.
Right.
He can't
focus so much on one guy.
And I think that's what it is, man. And they're getting killed in this little pick and roll. That's all they're kicking with this pick and roll. They're getting the matchups they want. And that's when you miss Julius because Bam is he's strong enough. When they went small, you don't have a Julius Randle to go out there when they go small, to have a big man out there that can keep Bam out of the paint and keep Bam off the boards. They didn't have any strong guys to go out there with Bam, and that's where you miss him. Obi just ain't strong enough to handle Bam.
Obi still had, again, 18 and 8.
Obi has a great game.
I'm signing up for eight rebounds from Obi Toppin.
That third quarter was a kiss of death.
Yes.
They were +5, and at the end of the quarter, they lost it. I just feel like Miami got such easy offense.
Yes.
Because they had the Knicks defense scrambling on the pick and roll, and you just got guys getting wide open shots. Yeah. And they weren't great from three.
No.
They weren't super efficient, but they hit them.
It was enough.
It was enough. But theirs was – you're talking about wide open. Theirs was wide-ass open.
Well, because they moved the ball so well.
Like somebody trying to close out. Off the pick and roll.
They had 26 assists, Bart. I mean, that's all good ball movement. All right, do you want to hear from Jalen Brunson? Because Brunson, as I said, he had 25-7. But he had a horrific shooting performance from downtown. Here's Brunson because, as you know about him, he always has full accountability.
They finished the third quarter strong, finished the second quarter strong. They had key moments in the game where, you know, we need to finish strong, be strong, and that starts with me. Today I was horrific. Yeah, just very uncharacteristic by me, and this one's on me, and I got to be better. We'll go from there.
So, I mean, him saying, I've got to be better, calling his performance horrific, saying a lot. Now, they are missing Julius Randle. We watched Randle pregame on the court. He was running, he was shooting, but he wasn't cutting. Again, rolled the ankle, he injured the ankle. We'll get to the Butler injury also we got to talk about. But game two now is Tuesday.
Must win.
And I agree. And Julius Randle's status, you know, is going to be critical in this game. Here's Tom Thibodeau on that.
I don't know how close, you know, I know he worked out before, and I just trust him and the medical staff to make that decision. So if he could go, I planned both ways. I planned with him going and planned if he didn't go. So, you know, once they make a decision, that's it, you know, and you live with it and you get ready with what you have. And so we have more than enough.
I mean, they had more than enough for most of this game.
They were up 12.
Yeah,
up 12.
Up to 40-28 second quarter, and the building, you were there, the building was on fire. And if they had just had, they had a couple of threes up 12 that you hit one of those, now it's, you know, suddenly 15, feeling like you're pulling away. But it just never happened.
Some bad possessions, and then when Jimmy just continues to leak out, and you got
Kevin
Love looking like Tim Couch. Looking like Tim Couch.
You know what he said to Aaron Rodgers? He said, I have the best QBR in New York. That's what Aaron Rodgers in courtside. He's throwing those 65-foot passes down the court. Those were all back-breaking plays that you just felt the game just flip.
And they were
– I said this on the MSG postgame. The Heat with Love, with Lowry, and also Spoelstra, They outfoxed the Knicks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know
that's
what I mean? Like, they didn't out-talent them. They outfoxed them. And you can't let that happen again. Right?
Yep.
Don't let that happen again. All right, meanwhile, 5 minutes to go, Jimmy Butler goes down. He's being guarded by Hart. And he, as he steps, Hart's foot kind of gets on his foot and rolls, and it rolled really bad. He went down, and he was down for a while in serious pain. He got up, and he stays in the game. And another thing you could criticize is, how are you not finding him on the defensive end and trying to get at him when you know he can't move? He guarded one play in the last 5 minutes of the game. You know that? He wasn't involved defensively in anything.
He got you with the banana tailpipe.
And the one closeout opportunity he had was when Josh Hart had a wide open corner three that Josh missed brutally, like just really bad. So, you know, the Knicks never noticed that or never took advantage or tried to, that Butler was compromised. Now, the thing to watch now is that, okay, you have today off, and then you play tomorrow. But after tomorrow, they don't play till Saturday. So there's a lot of time off between, you know, the two. So you saw Spoelstra mouth a four-letter word on TV when Butler was down on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And he did get back up, but still, here's Spoelstra talking about the ankle issue, and there are some concerns about his availability in game two.
No idea. You know, you just don't know, you know, with ankle sprains. I don't even know if we'll know more by tomorrow. You know, we'll just have to see. It'll be a waiting game, you know, but he did not want to come out of the game, you know, so we left him in there.
So they left him in. Here's Butler on why he stayed in the game, aside from the fact that if he left, he wouldn't be able to return because he had those free throws he had to make. So he went in, he made the free throws, and stayed in the game all the way to the end.
Find a way to win, be out there, be a presence. I didn't do too much except for airball of three, but I'll take the dub.
How's it feeling?
Like a rolled ankle.
How bad did that look to you, Bart?
It looked crazy, right? But you never know the severity. Looking at it, you never know the severity. You don't know, like, the flexion, how it hit. You know, you really don't know until the next day, until you get the swelling, right?
There are reports that say after the game, swelled
is past tense.
So, Dinahan, proper terminology here?
We'll have to consult Merriam-Webster here.
Yeah, swelled. Regardless, there was swelling, and there was some concern about that. So if he can't go in game two, that's obviously to the Knicks' advantage. But if it's actually something that will compromise him for a while, this series could be over. As bad as game one went, that injury could be critical.
Yeah, they got nothing without Jimmy.
Like, I mean, what are they going to do? Kyle Lowry really going to keep playing like that? I mean, come on.
Nah. You got to wear his little fat. He came off the bench, too, so they're doing a smart
job.
They know he don't have a lot in him, but he's playing well in spurts. Smart for them not to start him and give him starter minutes.
Well, he took advantage
of quickly.
He just
comes out. He can take advantage of this. You know, he's smart, pump fake, the little fake ghost foul that he got.
I give him credit
for being smart.
Right.
I mean, because Jimmy Buckets does that. He caught him with a couple pump fakes and get people jumping and leaning into him. He got hard a couple times with some dumb fouls.
And the thing with Lowry, by the way, he's 6 feet tall. He had four block shots in the game, which I find kind of interesting.
That's funny.
But listen, though, because it's an interesting statistical thing. They call it a block shot.
Oh, swipe the ball.
But it's because when you gather to go for a layup,
you swipe it out your hand.
That's considered your shooting. So if you swipe it off the guy's leg, like he did to Barrett.
He's great on that.
That's not considered a steal or a deflection. Yeah. It's called a block. It's considered a block, which I don't know if
And people got to understand, too, when you're going against him, he's going to do that. So if it's a fast break.
Don't show the ball.
Put it over your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you bringing it down there to him? Especially when you're probably 5 inches taller than him.
Yeah, don't show the ball. But again, they got out Fox.
You're listening to Alan Hahn's Knicks Fix Podcast, exclusively on the ESPN New York app.
Joey in Staten Island. Joey, what's happening, man?
How you doing, fellas?
All right.
Good morning. The 2 points frustrated me yesterday. One was when Jimmy Butler started talking to the refs in the second quarter. They were letting him play. Then the second quarter, him and his boys started talking to the refs, whining, and all of a sudden they started calling everything, ticky-tack fouls, especially against the Knicks. And the second point is They got to tuck that ball in. They're getting stripped like crazy.
Yeah.
Every time, layup and every tuck, they got to tuck it in, and they got to look at the tape and check it out.
Yeah. Showing the ball. Thank you, Joe. Showing the ball, especially against Lowry, it just got to be maddening.
It's such a natural thing that when you're about to jump to kind of bring it down, you know, some of the old school guys, I forgot who used to do it. He used to put it behind his head when he was going, and then he jumped. I forgot, but a lot of guys do that because it's these crafty guys. Another guy that's really good at that is Chris Paul, right? These guys that have been short their whole life know they can't attack you on the rim, so they're going to come in. You think they're taking a charge, and then they sit down there and they wait for you to elevate, and they take the ball out of your hands. You know what I mean? You got to almost cuff that thing like LeBron does, where he rocks it like a football and then goes up with it and then moves it on the way up.
It's all about adjustments. That's what a playoff series is. And so that's something that they've got to watch film and make sure
point
that
of emphasis,
if you know Kyle Lowry's there, can't show the ball. The other thing you got to watch out for is he will slide in and try to take charges on you. That's also frustrating. He's one of those frustrating guys. All right, Kevin on the island. Kevin.
It was good, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
What you doing, typing your resume?
No, not talking. No, I'm at work, man.
Okay.
I got two points I want to make or whatever. Hope y'all address them. The first one, I'm not going to belabor too much, and that I think that kid's got a little bit outcoached there or whatever. You're going with a championship caliber there, coaching Spoelstra. I think he got a little outcoached. I know you can't say but so much on. I know that you
what
worked
can I say? Well,
years,
Kevin, don't ever say that. Because that every time somebody says that to me, I think it's ridiculous. I work for ESPN. They pay the majority of my salary comes from ESPN. I owe it to them to be honest and keep it real. So this whole thing that I can't say, I'm not working for MSG right now. I can say what I want to say.
Anything. All right, I'm not questioning integrity, Al. I'm not just not
right,
doing
just,
that.
I don't like when people do that because it's not true. It's literally not true.
All right. The next thing I want to find out something or whatever, and maybe it's just me and my issues with Randall. I have a problem. If I see Jimmy Butler play tomorrow, come back Tuesday, and he's playing, I'm going to have a problem with Randall.
Kevin, can I stop right there? Because that's not fair. Because this is the second time he heard it, right? So, like, it's different when you hurt something the first time you fight through, but when you heard it the second time, it's a lot worse, right? He came back, and we didn't think he was going to play game one on the first series. And he came out and he gave us a lot of minutes. So I think that's a little bit unfair because Jimmy Butler, like I tell you guys before, Kevin, you take the shot once and you're good. You take it twice, it doesn't have the same effect.
I think when I watched him, Kevin, in pregame, I was like, he's moving pretty well.
He looked good.
But you know what? The difference, though, with an ankle roll or an ankle injury like that is you can run straight forward and not have a problem.
The side to side.
It's when you have to cut and spin and push off and pivot.
One question, though. Don't y'all think that he could have, at the minimum, just give you 15 to 20 minutes. Let's even 15 to 10 minutes or whatever.
All right, Kevin, were you thinking
his
that? But
makes
wait, I know you're not wrong. We agree that they missed his presence. But were you thinking that up 12 in the second quarter? No, you weren't thinking that up 12 in the second quarter.
No,
well, the only reason why it's – they almost got away with giving him one more day rest.
Right.
That's, I think, the point I'm trying to make, Kevin.
Yeah.
They almost got away with giving him one more game. It just didn't – it ended up backfiring because of how the offense fell apart in the second half. And now we'll see if he will be ready to go in game two because I'm with you. They need him to play in this series, 100%. Dwayne on Long Island. Hello. Dwayne.
Hey, Bar Hahn, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on, man?
I got a question for you, Hahn.
Yep.
Do you feel like it's deja vu? Because I'm looking at that game this past Sunday, yesterday, and I'm seeing Atlanta all over again. I'm seeing Tibbs get out coached. I'm seeing Miami make adjustments in the second half.
The adjustments were definitely there in the second half.
It's just the shooting.
I'm trying to figure out what part of 5 for 23 on wide open threes was coaching.
I get it, but when you allow players to just go ISO, the ball has energy. The ball needs to move.
Who played?
Wait,
who went? Hang on. No, Dwayne, who went ISO?
Brunson.
All right. Did you see?
They scored
ABC.
60 points. They scored 60 points in the paint.
ABC did an amazing little. They did a reel of plays where Brunson got into the paint. Three players surrounded him, and he kicked it out for wide open threes. What part of ISO is that? They missed open threes off of like a million passes that he threw because he drew all the attention of the defense. That's how you're supposed to play.
So I have a follow-up question. When he was successful in the first half, was he kicking the ball out? Was the ball touching anybody else's hand?
Because he was, because they weren't putting the wall up that they put up in the second half.
Right,
so what do you do? Well, but again, you're talking about adjustments. The adjustment is get into the paint, and when you draw defense, spray it out for open threes. There's nothing else to do there. What other strategy did you want? Shoot against four defenders?
No. And which he did. He shot against double teams.
Well, eventually, sometimes when a guy's missing the corner three, and after a while, you're like, I got to take a couple here. Maybe I can draw a foul. Like, you got it. You're trying to figure out something in the moment.
See, Dwayne, Dwayne,
I don't see it.
Around the first half.
I don't know.
You don't have touch of the ball.
No. Dwayne, the ball. They were up 40
like,
to
2. What do you expect?
Dwayne, you really think this is about guys were standing around? Did you watch the game?
It's a make or miss.
Yes, I watched the game.
That wasn't what was happening. That wasn't what was happening.
Dwayne, it's a make or miss. It's a make or miss.
I don't know what you guys are watching.
D, it's a make or miss league, right? Like they missed a lot of free throws, and they were horrible from 3-point. If you just get better on both, then the game is a totally different situation. Now, yes, Jimmy buckets, like knowing that they weren't shooting great from outside, leaked out 3 times, right?
Yeah, that moment was backbreaking. Yeah,
but that's the shooter. Like, what's the shooter supposed to do? Shoot and go and go chase Jimmy buckets? That's just something that he saw happening. He probably recognized that they weren't really hitting their shots. So he's like, I'm going to leak out. And they discussed that before.
Dwayne,
it worked.
I'll say this, Dwayne, and I'm hoping to get Monica McNutt on later on in the show because her and I had a discussion about this, and Dwayne's busy in another conversation now. So, But Monica felt that way, that you shouldn't just keep taking threes, then you should just keep driving. And I disagreed. And I said, no, they're open threes.
You got to take the open shot.
You got to make
them. You heard Tibbs. There, you got to take it.
By the way, did Dwayne not sound like Patrick Ewing? He sounded a lot like Patrick. In a minute, I was like, is that Patrick?
Maybe Patrick calling in. Yeah.
Patrick's calling in mad about what he saw.
All right, thanks for listening to this latest episode of the Knicks Fix podcast. Of course, enjoy the games. And as always, for more Knicks coverage, be sure to tune into the Barton Hahn Show weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Alan Hahn's Knicks Fix podcast, exclusively on the ESPN New York app.